Greetings and welcome to a festive edition of the British Birdgown Breakdown, where, in the spirit of this being the season of giving, we stopped giving a shit and laid down for the 12th time this season. Thank God then, there's only one more game to go through, but before then, we've got a game to break down. So as always, I'm Tom, and I'm joined by Callum.
Hello.
On this Boxing Day morning to ruin your Christmas festivities with yet more Arizona Cardinals misery.
Yeah, and unfortunately Santa didn't bring us a win, but he did bring us much more certainty that we're going to get the number one overall draft pick.
Yeah, especially with Oakland winning, so, you know, thanks Oakland.
And you called that as well, I think, last week.
I did, yeah, but just in the faint hope that we might be, like, more set to get the number one pick, and now we are, so I'll take that.
86-odd percent last week, and it's 90-something percent this week.
I've not looked at percentages this week, but it pretty much is nearly a certainty, as long as we don't get a stupid win over Seattle.
Yeah, I think we need to lose, and if we won, then we need other people to win as well, but if we lose, I think we've 100% got it, so I'm expecting to get the number one draft pick now.
Well, I mean, if we win, then the worst we'll end up with is the third overall pick, depending on other teams' results, so, you know.
But if we win and other teams win, we can still get that first round pick. I think we also need Oakland and San Francisco to win. Although I think San Francisco's playing the Rams, so a fat chance of that.
No chance of that happening. Although you never know in football. Any team can beat anyone, unless they're the Cardinals.
Yeah, it can happen, unless you're the 2018 Cardinals, absolutely.
Yes, and they fell to their 12th loss of the season this past weekend, losing 31-9 to the LA Rams. But hey, at least he didn't shut us out this time.
Absolutely. This was much less miserable to watch than previous games have been.
Yeah, rather surprisingly, actually, even though it consisted mainly of CJ Anderson running all over us, despite the fact he was only signed off the street earlier in the week.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you would expect, and when we saw Todd Gurley to be out injured, we thought, well, at least they won't have that. But they still managed to run the exact same running offense all over us.
I think they ended up with like nearly 200 yards of rushing, maybe over that.
Which is quite impressive for, you know, a free agent essentially to come in and do.
Well, I mean, that was a combination of him and the other guys he had running. He ended up with like 160-odd, I think, something like that.
Pretty good going, really.
And to be fair, he did have like a 1,000-yard season with Denver a couple of years back, so it's not like he's completely useless.
No, definitely not. But it's like, you know, he's new to the offense and all that sort of stuff, and they relied quite heavily on Todd Gurley as well, who is, you know, a generational talent along with David Johnson. So I genuinely wasn't expecting it to be that hard of a rush against us, but they really brought it.
Yeah, it was just our run defense, just terrible, I'm guessing. See, like every single time they ran to the right, they just get positive yards.
I mean, whether it was 2 or 20, it's just, you know that you're never going to get tackled behind the line of scrimmage if you make that look.
And then there was also that jet sweep play they kept on using. Everyone picked up yards using that.
Well, it's like, why would you stop using that play if nobody had countered it? You know, like, there was no rush, there was no movement of the line, like, there was nothing to stop them, you know, ending up in an open field with only a few DBs that were usually about 10 yards deep by that point.
I mean, if he'd have ran an offensive lineman on it, I bet he'd have picked up some yards as well.
I genuinely wouldn't be surprised, actually, especially with the way the tackling was going.
Yeah, it's just shocking all over. But, you know, at least we scored points.
No, I mean, when we scored some of the first points of the game as well, that, you know, as is almost tradition with this season, we had a pretty good opening drive.
Yeah, that resulted in a field goal, didn't it?
There was a chance that we could have got it in for a touchdown. I think we actually had 3 goes at it, and it was pretty close. Had to settle for a Zane Gonzalez field goal in the end. And that came after a takeaway as well, didn't it? It came after a takeaway from the Rams.
Yeah, there was too many of them, as always, when you play the Rams.
Absolutely.
We'll get on to some positives from the game, though.
Absolutely, yeah, because we actually have some.
Yes, and in his millionth game in the NFL, it seemed Larry Fitzgerald threw a touchdown pass, the first of his career.
Oh my God, this play was spectacular. It had everything that you could want as a Cardinals fan in it. It had Larry Fitzgerald throwing the ball for the first time in his career when he's clearly wanted to for years. It had a David Johnson touchdown like catch. It had a 40-odd yard touchdown play. It was wonderful.
I mean, he has thrown passes before in his career. I think that was his fifth time he's thrown one, but before that one, he's only completed one.
He's got a good arm on him as well, though. I mean, in fact, we were talking about this the other day when he got his most catches with a team record and he threw the ball off to the sideline. It was, you know, this beautiful tight spiral. And I was like, yeah, he really can throw the ball. I think he could have been a QB in another life.
And it's in his press conference after the game, he said it was a bit wobbly, so it was more Kurt Warner-esque.
Oh, dear.
He's always one putting him down.
Yeah, absolutely. Ever the humble guy.
I mean, it was a good play, and it was, you know, for once it actually brought us points against the LA Rams, so we didn't have to be shut out for them again.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I think it was just one of those plays that was like a bright spot in a game, and I always enjoy trick plays anyway, you know, regardless of how well they go. But to see it come out as a touchdown as well, that was brilliant.
Sadly, it was like the only thing we did on offense for most of the game anyway, but, you know, what should you know about that this season?
Between that one play and the very first drive, that was it, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't the best games to... I mean, it wasn't as boring as, like, last week or the weeks before.
Or even the last game against LA.
Yeah, that was just bad.
Not only did we score points, but we actually got over midfield quite a few times as well, which is a better performance than last time.
Did lose to them by an aggregate score of 65-9, which would actually be a scoring army.
Oh, that's some pretty tough going. And, you know, like, we can talk about it as well. We can talk about it as, oh, well, you know, they've got Jared Goff, and they've got, you know, all this sort of stacked offense, and they've got their defensive line, which is insanely scary and still healthy at this point. But really, that's a ridiculous aggregate score to give up, isn't it?
It is. Especially scoring 9 points for ourselves in like 8 quarters of football.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, we've heard it time and time again, every time somebody's talking about the Cardinals during a game. You just can't put that few points on the board in today's NFL.
Well, I mean, like, you're not going to win with 9 points over 2 games, are you?
Oh, yeah, definitely not. But, yeah, that's been pretty miserable. And as I said, though, at least this game was better. At least that's an improvement. I'm surprised it's an improvement, despite the fact that we've got, you know, no offensive line left compared to last time.
Probably too little too late, though, really, to save Steve Wilkes.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I think we're 100%, or at least most of the fan base and most of the writers and most of the PR staff seem to be 100% convinced that he is going to be gone on Black Monday.
Yeah, I mean, there was reports out before the game from Adam Schefter saying that the Cardinals are almost certain to move on from him. And I can't see that performance changing any minds.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think there's one thing for coming in and having a bad season or a mediocre season, but coming in and leading a team that was winning for a few years, or at least, you know, coming out 8-8 and taking them to being the worst team in the NFL and leading them to their worst season in how many years is it now?
So like 50 years, I think, maybe longer than that.
Like the worst game of like this half century, or the worst season of this half century. Then I think that's when you kind of lose the faith of everyone around you. You know, there's no going back for second chances after that, especially with some of the games that we've lost. I mean, we had a tough schedule to start the year out, definitely. But some of the games that we've lost have been shocking, really.
And even the ones we've won were shocking, to be fair.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, even the, like, two of the games that we won being against San Francisco and both of them being dreadful, scrappy wins.
I can imagine we would have actually lost them if they'd have started the quarterback they've got at the moment, though.
Yeah, I think so as well, actually, because they lost Jimmy Garoppolo right at the start of the season, and then they had, was it CJ Beathard for the 2 games that we played them?
Yeah, and then now you've got Nick Mullinson, but he's actually picked up a couple of wins.
Yeah, no, he's been doing pretty well, actually. So it's like we managed to beat one of the other worst teams in the NFL twice, but only when they were down and out, you know, like, and I don't think we could beat them if they were on form at either point.
I mean, there is one positive to all this bad season, and that's the fact that we're now in pole position for the number one overall pick in the 2019 NFL draft.
Yeah, that's quite exciting, isn't it? Especially with Oakland's win there. Surprise win.
Well, it's not a surprise win, because I called it last week, but, you know.
You called it against the odds. I think that still counts as a surprise win.
Yeah, well, I mean, I only did it to help us secure that number one pick. So, you know, as long as we don't beat Seattle this week, we resist the urge to beat them in Seattle. We'll have that number one pick.
So there's the question. Would it just round out a dreadful season if we managed to beat Seattle somehow and then miss out on that first pick?
I mean, they've said they're not going to rest any players, so, you know, it'll still be a full-strength Seattle team we go up against.
And it'll be a massive air quotes, full-strength Arizona Cardinals team that we put out as well. Although, I mean, after Josh Rosen was pulled in the last quarter against the Rams, and actually Josh Rosen was pulled as well the week before, so do you think there's any chance that they'll pull him for this whole game?
Nah, I think they'll let him play for this game, as long as he can stand up.
Might as well give him the experience, eh? And I suppose as long as... I can't even remember who's on Seattle's D-line these days.
It's not as fearsome as it once was, but he's still got enough to get to the playoffs this season.
I'm just thinking in terms of, you know, what you do for kind of long-term health of Josh Rosen. And I agree that you get him out there, but then do you kind of softball him in for the second half or whatever just to kind of keep him healthy?
Maybe just have to see how the game goes. So if it's a complete lost cause and we're like down like 30 at halftime, it's pointless putting him out there, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Although it's good to get him in those situations, you know, and get him used to a lot of stuff, but equally, you don't want him to be totally miserable as well.
Could you imagine if we did get the win, though, and it saved Steve Wilkes' job?
Oh, no. Yeah, save Steve Wilkes' job and we don't get number one pick anymore. It would be the worst of every world, really, wouldn't it?
Well, maybe we'd still get like the number two or number three pick, so it's not the end of the world. Could still get a really good player with them.
Absolutely. And actually, I think as well, you know, most of the mock drafts that I've seen already, which I'll be sick of reading in about 2 weeks, but most of them have got us going with Nick Bosa, who's a defensive end. And I reckon he can fall, you know, two or three places quite easily.
Well, I mean, everyone seems to say he's the number one pick, but there's also Quinnen Williams from Alabama. He's also really highly rated.
Yeah.
So if we ended up with one of those two, he couldn't complain, really.
Yeah, exactly. And it all depends as well on who would end up in front of us and what their needs are.
Yeah, exactly. They could end up trading down to someone who needs a quarterback. And then, you know, we get a free pick at whoever we want.
Definitely. Well, I still think there's a good chance that we'll get the first overall pick anyway. So we'll have to wait and see.
I mean, if Steve Kerr misses on the first pick, you know, with no one else in front of him, you know.
Yeah.
He probably deserves to be fired as well.
I was going to say, we'll have to wait and see if he sticks around as well, because there's a lot of people reckoning he, you know, might be gone as well. We might go for a clean sweep.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a surprise, to be fair. But also, it wouldn't be a surprise if they kept him around, given how good this draft class has been.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think it's going to be a bit up in the air when it comes to Steve Keim. I think it'll also depend on how well he behaves himself this offseason.
Should we move on to some negatives from the game? Because, you know, there's always going to be plenty of them.
Well, I mean, considering that the very first point that you've got written under negatives is everything else.
Again.
It's, yeah, I would have to agree, though. I mean, as far as I was saying, this game, it wasn't miserable to watch like the other ones. It still wasn't the football that you want to see, is it?
No, it was just too boring to watch half the time. So all they would do was running the ball over us. I mean, it did make for a quick game and it was done pretty quickly. We didn't have to like wait until like 1 o'clock in the morning for it to finish.
That's true, yeah. But I guess, you know, this is like the opposite way around from the boredom that we had, you know, back in the back at the start of the season when it was just David Johnson runs up the middle for no yards. David Johnson runs up the middle for 1 yard. You know, just that over and over and over again. And it was kind of similar, I guess. Every time they had the ball, it was always a run play. We had, you know, two or three pass plays from them. And then whenever the Cardinals were on the field, it was more often than not like a strong start to a drive. At least this time it wasn't always three and out. It was a strong start to a drive down the field for a little bit and then fizzle out, just kind of lose momentum.
Yeah, rather surprisingly, Andy Leone had 5 punts in the game, which seems quite low considering.
That's pretty good for us. I mean, I guess it could be a lot... It could be a lot worse, and we actually scored points this time, but it also meant that, you know, we were turning the ball over in other ways.
I mean, this isn't, I've got it down under the negatives column, but I think it could be a positive as well, because it's kind of a weird statistic. Because at half time, Larry Fitzgerald was our leading passer, Josh Rosen was our leading rusher, and David Johnson was our leading receiver.
Yeah, I saw this stat being battered about all over the place. And I'm kind of in a similar boat to you. I can't tell if that's a positive or a negative. I mean, at this point in the season, at least it's entertainment. But also, players really should be the number one in their own class, like in their own position.
It just goes to show that really Josh Rosen wasn't getting anything done in the passing game. And David Johnson wasn't getting anything going on the ground.
I mean, the one thing I'm okay with out of that is David Johnson being the leading receiver. I think it's fantastic to see him used more and more as a receiver. But unfortunately, the stat really comes down to that one play. And that was really our one play of the half.
Was that play of the game, really?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Might even be play of the season.
I wouldn't put it past it at this point, really. I mean, we're not going to have much to choose from.
I know the British Beer Gang Award is going to be a bit barren this year.
A bit miserable, maybe.
Well, I mean, it'll follow in the path of the season, so what do you expect, really?
Well, maybe we should give ourselves some rewards for some awards for sitting through all these games.
One for everyone who's actually managed it.
Did you manage to sit through all of the games without falling asleep or, you know, changing channels or browsing your phone or whatever?
I mean, browsing your phone is a bit different, you know. It's on Twitter to find everyone else's bad takes of the game to go with mine.
I'm thinking more the, you know, like looking at your phone and looking at Twitter and then sort of realizing half an hour later that the game's still been going on in the background.
Should we move on to our player of the game?
Yeah, sure.
We got play of the game, but that was sealed earlier with Larry Fitzgerald's passing touchdown.
Oh, I mean, it couldn't not be, could it?
Could it be anything else?
Well, absolutely not, basically. Not only was it our only touchdown of the game, but it was also, you know, exciting and things actually happened.
It was literally the most exciting thing we've seen all season.
It genuinely was, yeah. I've got to say, it was at least gratifying that to know that State Farm Stadium can still, you know, get loud when it wants to.
It did look pretty empty, though, to be fair.
It did look pretty empty, but, you know, people were actually celebrating that as a thing rather than, you know, I could genuinely see fatigue having set in to the point where that got like a cheer and a clap as opposed to people actually going, you know, properly mental for it.
I think if it was anyone else doing it, it probably wouldn't have done. But it was Larry, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Which could potentially be his last home game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this could potentially be his last game coming up this week. Can we put that in the negatives column?
Have we not got enough negatives as it is?
Well, okay, right. Shall we? Let's do a positive then. Let's do our player of the game.
Yep, so once again, player of the game I've got down is Andy Lee.
Player of the season, man.
Yeah, of his 5 punts in this game, 4 landed inside the 20, and none of them were touchbacks. He averaged 49.2 yards per punt as well.
I'd hate to think where we'd be without him this season.
We'd have some other crap punter instead, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yep, yeah, Andy Lee, player of the game. What more can be said? It's just spectacular that it's got to this point that we're constantly giving him that award.
I mean, he's been used an awful lot, but, you know, when he has been used, he's actually delivered, which is more than could be said about most players.
Yeah, that's true.
Can't wait for him to clean up at the British Beer Gang Awards, though.
We'll have to send him them out. He'll have won enough that we can justify the postage.
Exactly, for the first time. I think the most someone's ever won is probably like 3 awards. He might even win more than that.
Yeah, well, we'll have to wait and see, obviously, but I think he'll be up for quite a few. He'll definitely be in the running for a few.
And speaking of people in the running, that moves us on to the Beer Gang Bowl.
Ooh, very exciting. So this is now, that was the finals of each league, right, this week?
Yes, all those were taking part this past weekend, and now we've got 5 competitors for the 6th ever Beer Gang Bowl.
Exciting. That's, you know, it's getting to be a bigger thing, so 5 competitors in at the final road.
Yeah, the final 5, we could call them.
Final 5, okay.
Everyone loves some alliteration.
Especially American sports, there's something about alliteration that just works well for it. Bird Gang Bowl Final 5, BBFF.
Yep, so for the final 5, we've got Bread Cred, Nat King Mason Cole, Rosen Tinted Glasses, Zoom Zoom, and Inglorious Bradfords.
Does that mean that every single one of our picks lost?
You did, yes. Including Sam Bradford Royal Infirmary.
Oh, man. The curse is real.
It is, eventually.
The curse came back. Wow, okay.
Brought it back for finals week.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do we do then? Do we pick one of these team names, one of these teams as our pick for the finals?
No, I think it'd be unfair to curse them after they've got through so far.
That's true, actually. Yeah, if we don't curse anyone this week, then it leaves it a very level playing field.
Yeah, just hope Red Cred don't win though.
That's just because they were in your league,
and
right?
They beat me, so yeah, I'm still bitter about that.
All right. Well, yeah, Bird Gang Bowl, very exciting this year. And final week of the season can be a really, really tough time to put out teams, but hopefully it's a good game.
Yeah, I should also mention that in the NFL UK Fantasy League that I was in, that I mentioned a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
It was the final of that this past weekend, and the British Bird Gang won.
Oh, yes. Seriously?
They did, yeah. I finally won my first ever Fantasy League.
Yes. So who were you up against in the finals?
In the finals, I was up against a team called Dynasty One, who were 10-4 for the season. And yeah, he went into playoffs at the number 3 seed.
Yeah, all right. That's pretty good going. Well, congratulations. And we'll call it a Bird Gang win. One of very few to talk about this season.
I need a trophy now to show off. The final score, though, was 108.65 to 81.2.
Oh, it was a decimation.
It was kind of lucky, though, because I started Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, and they combined for like 6.9 points, which is pathetic.
Yeah, absolutely. Surprising that you managed to do so well, then.
Well, I had Patrick Mahomes, as always.
Ah, yeah, of course.
Bailing me out forever and ever. But, you know, I'll take the win.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have to see how he does next season as well, then.
Nah, I think I'll quit this one now. I'll never top this now, yeah.
Yeah, you've won now, so you don't want to defend it.
No, exactly. It'll probably just fail miserably anyway.
Speaking of having won now, should we move on to the weekly pick'ems?
Yeah, we'll round off the episode with our weekly pick'ems breakdown. And it was a pretty decent scoring performance this past week from all three of us. TK managed to finish third with 140 points. Callum was second with 150. And I finished with 160. Believing in Oakland was enough to win this week.
To seal in that win.
Yeah, because it was tied all going into Monday Night Football.
I'm just glad I've managed to put another little bit of buffer between me and TK, because we've only got 1 week left and there's only 20 points between us. And as I said the other week, the real competition now is for second place, because I think you're pretty much sealed in first.
Yeah, I mean, overall, TK remains bottom on 1,590 points. Callum second with 1,610. And I'm still top with 1,810. So a nice 200-point gap there.
200-point gap, which is definitely impossible in 1 week.
We still got the playoffs, though.
I forgot this goes in through the playoffs.
I mean, there's not that many games and there's not many points on offer, so it might not make much difference.
I would say in some ways it can be harder to predict the playoffs.
Yeah, because you never know who's going to win, do you?
It's just one game and some teams really, really struggle in the playoffs and some teams really excel. And
SJY1982 continues to lead in the British Bird Gang group with 2,010 points. However, I've got to now brag about that because I'm now up to 6. Closing in on him.
2,010 points is insane, though. I mean, that's 200 points above you as well.
And then 400 points above you.
Bloody hell. It's dead impressive, really.
Should we move on to our Week 17 selections, then?
Yeah, absolutely. And most of the picks, again, are unanimous because at this stage in the season, it's become quite clear who's going to be able to beat who. So we've all gone for Miami to beat Buffalo, Houston to beat Jacksonville, the Pats to beat the Jets, New Orleans to beat Carolina, the Cowboys to beat the Giants, Atlanta to beat Tampa Bay, Kansas City to beat Oakland, the Steelers to beat the Bengals, Philly to beat Washington, the Chargers to beat Denver, Rams to beat San Francisco, and Indianapolis to beat Tennessee.
The last one, of course, would make Indianapolis go to the playoffs.
Yeah, well, I think it's winner of that game goes to the playoffs.
Yeah, winner of that wins the division and takes the final, I think, playoff spot in the AFC.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've got to believe in Andrew Luck there.
That was 100% my toughest game to call this week, actually. I kind of flip-flopped between the two of them. But I realised that, you know, so often I've erred against Indianapolis, and so often they've proven me wrong this season that I might as well give them the chance.
Yeah, I mean, last time I looked, I think it was like 51-49. So it's pretty even split on the pick'em side.
Yeah, I'm not surprised as well. I mean, they've both got the exact same record. And they've both had, you know, they've both had games where it's all fallen to pot for them, and it's all, you know, totally gone to pieces. And they've also been solid a lot of the time as well.
It would make for a good Sunday night football game, at least, with so much on offer.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think it's a dead exciting game, actually. I'm quite looking forward to watching that one.
Makes a change in not being someone like New England or Green Bay or Dallas on Sunday night football.
Exactly.
Although they've all got nothing to play for, so why share them? Why not have like the only meaningful game in the whole week left?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, like that's an appropriate decision to put that in at Sunday night football. It's like a good time to do it, you know? Because you can just imagine them going, well, actually, more people watch the Pats, and then putting on like a meaningless Pats Jets game.
No one would want to watch that. I don't think even the Pats fans want to watch that.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it will be brutal, but I also think the Pats might just not put anyone on the field, just run out the clock.
Could even be Todd Bowles' last game in New York for that one.
Very possibly, yeah. I did see people saying that he might be coming back to Arizona, and I'm not sure why people are thinking that he would do any better here than he did in the Jets.
Well, I mean, the organization do like him here.
Oh, yeah, I mean, he was DC for how many years?
He was here for a good couple of years, and then he obviously went off to New York.
Start his head coaching career. And I did like him when he was in Arizona, but, you know, I've got no reason to suspect that he would be able to do any better, you know, coaching over here than he did there.
Unless he comes back as defensive coordinator.
If he comes back as DC, I'd be okay with that as well, though. But we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see what the off-season has.
Yeah, I mean, it's only like a week or so before the changes start happening.
I'm sure we can maybe think about doing a special edition when that news breaks.
Well, I mean, by the time we record next time, it'll be past Black Monday. Hopefully we'll know by then.
Will it?
Yeah, because we usually record on a Tuesday, don't we?
That's true, yeah. So, well, I guess we'll wait for that potentially happy news then. But in the meantime, should we talk about what our differences in our picks are?
Yep, so the first difference we've got this week is Detroit and Green Bay, where you've decided to side with Detroit and I've gone with Green Bay.
I think, you know, after the season that Green Bay's had, they've really not got anything to play for anymore. Detroit might be up for kind of embarrassing them, I guess. Like, I think that that's a distinct possibility. And, yeah, I think the Lions, you know, have it in them to be able to do that. And the Packers are, you know, beaten and bruised and miserable.
Yeah, I mean, both sides have really struggled this season, but I decided to go with Green Bay just because they've got Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, he has done some good things this year, but a lot of those good things have been against teams like the Jets.
He's got to can only beat what he's got in front of him, I suppose.
He couldn't beat the Cardinals.
No. And that did cost Mike McCarthy his job.
It did.
But it could have also given him a job in Arizona, apparently.
Well, that's one of the rumours that we're hearing.
I wouldn't be too annoyed with that, to be fair.
I mean, we'll wait and see. But after the way Packers fans were complaining about him all season, I don't know if I'm just biased against them, but I'll have to do a bit more reading on how well that would fit.
He was there for like 12 years and he got them a Super Bowl ring. And he were in the playoffs pretty much every single year.
It's true. He did do spectacularly well, but then people are sort of saying, I don't know if they were sort of saying that he lost his touch or if it was more of a he's just getting old and can't hack it kind of way. But, he's got a good track record for sure.
Interesting to see if he'd bring in his defensive coordinator. Should he get the job here? Everyone would say Todd Bowles, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, Todd Bowles would be brilliant to bring back as well.
But, you know, he also has to get released by New York. I think they've given him a vote of confidence at the moment. But that means nothing on Black Monday.
Yeah, I mean, a vote of confidence for the last game of the season, who knows? But, yeah, all these things could go either way. But look at us talking about coaches again. Well, we've got to talk about the difference in the pick between Baltimore and Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, I was torn about this one because Cleveland have done such a good job this year. But so have Baltimore. And they're looking really good on defense, at least. And also Lamar Jackson on offense. So I decided to go with Baltimore for this one.
I actually don't blame you at all. I think Baltimore have done surprisingly well, given the fact that they're, you know, elbow deep in backup QBs at this point. I went for the Browns because I kind of wanted them to like have a winning season. And I guess it's not really a winning season because that would be them finishing 8-7-1. But if we count a draw as a half a win, then it's a winning season for the first time in maybe ever for the Browns.
It does seem like a very long time since they last had a winning record.
And the other thing as well is that this, as far as games that mean something, this kind of does, because if the Browns win, then the Steelers go to the playoffs.
Provided they win.
That's true, yeah. That's actually, yeah.
But I mean, they are playing Cincinnati, so.
Who are, I believe, bottom of that division now?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And we're beaten by the Browns last week, so that's that. The Browns lose then, or if the Browns win, then they eliminate Baltimore if the Steelers also win, which we expect them to.
Yeah, so obviously Baltimore will be going for the win in this one. It's not like we can sit back or anything like that.
No, no, definitely not. But I'm definitely going with Cleveland to win here just because, as I said, I'd like to see them win out and actually have a winning record.
And last but not least on the differences this week, we've got Chicago and Minnesota.
And I went with Chicago here. You've gone with Minnesota, right?
Because I think they need to win to make it to the playoffs. And if they don't make the playoffs, they won't make the Super Bowl. And my Super Bowl bet will be ruined.
There you go then, actually, yeah. That's a good reason for it.
Well, I mean, like, I've got 10 points to play with. I've got multiple 10 points to play with, so if it's wrong, it's wrong. Who cares?
Yeah, that's true.
No one's catching me at this stage.
Exactly, yeah. Well, you could be doing some good stuff in the main group, but yeah, I went with the Bears based on the early performance of the Vikings last week when I was going to say Sam Bradford there. Who's their QB again just now? He used to be at Washington. Kirk Cousins, yeah. When Kirk Cousins was on like -2 points for, I think, the full first quarter.
And then they had the Hail Mary at the end of the first half.
Yeah, they just, you know, picked up from that point on. So I think it'll be interesting game as well. I mean, this, you know, this is another game that'll be interesting for sure.
I mean, Chicago are already in the playoffs, aren't they?
And then Minnesota need the win for the wild card spot. I think they need some other things to go right for them.
Yeah, I think if they lose, then someone else could probably... I think Philadelphia, possibly.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
I missed that. I mean, I can see why, maybe, but they've had such a crap season.
Yeah, but now they've got Nick Foles back in.
That's true, yeah.
So it seems to make things happen.
It's funny, isn't it? It's like they just ignored him for so long this season, and now he's back and like just... It's like luck almost comes on his side.
Seattle are obviously locked into the number 5 seed. So number 6 seed is either Minnesota or Philadelphia, I think. Minnesota have it at the moment.
That sounds right. And then they also they need to win and...
Or at least match Philadelphia's thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Either match or better it, obviously.
Exactly. So, and obviously in that case you want to win because that way you definitely get in.
I think they probably play at the same time as well, so no shenanigans or anything like that.
Which is always fun because they've got the score from the other team up on the scoreboard in the stadium, and there's all sorts of reaction to it at odd times as well.
Should we move on to our final prediction of the week and season?
The Arizona-Seattle prediction.
And I predict misery.
I did see you had that written down there. I think that that's a good prediction, actually, because... If we lose, it'll be miserable to watch. And if we win, it'll be miserable because we'll miss out on the first round pick. And the only thing the only good thing that can come from having such a crap season.
Is first dibs at the college talent, clearly.
Exactly. And potentially firing your head coach, which might happen anyway, even if we win. But
well, I mean, like a 4-12 season shouldn't really save anyone after this year.
Oh, yeah, definitely not.
Unless we put 58 on them. Get revenge for that game.
Well, I mean, it's been a few years since they've beaten us at home, since Seattle's beaten us in Seattle.
Yeah, we always seem to have that sort of like hold over them, like their kryptonite sort of thing.
Yeah, it's very odd. Even years when they've been doing, you know, really, really well, and this year they've been doing pretty good, like, but not, you know, not spectacular, not like their Super Bowl run year.
It's kind of crazy how good they've been this year, considering all the injuries they've got and everything.
Yeah, yeah. They've definitely come out swinging, for sure. And, you know, I'm pretty impressed by what they've managed to get up to. But that being said, they are also in a division with us and the 49ers, which is a couple guaranteed wins for them right there.
They also got Pete Carroll a new extension, so we've got to put with him 5 more years.
Yeah, I know. And he's... as we've discussed before, you know, an excellent coach.
Now he's going to get paid $11 million a year, apparently. So it's all right for some.
Unbelievable, isn't it? And to think I can always do such a better job from my armchair.
Exactly. Where's my $11 million? I'll get on the phone to Michael Bidwell as soon as we're done here.
Not a bad shout. We can go and be a new coaching team.
Sorted. But then who'll do the podcast?
Ah, right. Well, all we've got to do then to solve this is just get somebody to pay us $11 million a year to do the podcast.
Yeah. I mean, is there anyone out there? Contact us if you don't.
I mean, we get, what, up to 200 listeners? That's only, I don't know, 100,000, 10,000 odd per listener.
See, it's value for money, clearly.
Exactly, yeah. For a whole year worth of podcast, that's not bad.
Should we put some predictions out for this game now?
Yeah, sure. I was struggling to find numbers for this game, and for a long time I was thinking it might be another 9-9 kickoff battle, and more misery in that sense. But with Seattle kind of saying they're going to come out in full force, I think they can put all of their good players on the field and not need to exert themselves to beat us quite handily. And I think it's going to be something like 28-7.
I've got us going for a 31-9 loss. So, you know, we can have the same score in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, all right. I can definitely see that.
Maybe we might be able to get some points going, but I can't see us winning. And I don't want to see us win, really.
Yeah. No, I don't want to see us win either.
As much as that's odd to say.
It is odd to say, but, like, I've sat through 15 weeks of misery at this point. I can handle another one to at least get something good out of it compared to, you know, having another a week with a win, a surprise win, and then it just means, you know, our whole season was a wet fart as opposed to at least getting us that first pick.
Yeah, so we're going to round off this episode with our usual plugs and stuff. So, as always, if you're not following us on Twitter, go follow us at British Bird Gang and Bird Gang Club UK. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/British Bird Gang, and also join the group at facebook.com/groups/British Bird Gang. Best British Bird Gang merch at britishbirdgang.tmail.com. It's a good way to spend that Christmas money.
Absolutely. And just you sort of saying that there, maybe we should make some British Bird Gang tea. You know, something to calm you down while you're watching the games.
Be something for next season if it's as bad as this one. We'll look for it in the off season. Well, as always, thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week for the final, well, maybe the penultimate episode of the series.
And yeah, I guess we'll have to wait and see if we're going to have some big news by that point as well.
Hopefully we will. If not, we'll just have to make some up. Maybe the Cardinals will break it as soon as we're recording, such as the usual way, but they better not.
Yeah, well, hopefully they stick to the predetermined usual schedule, but hey-ho, if they don't, then I'm sure we can do a special episode because that would be something worth celebrating.
Or complaining about, but, you know, we'll see. Until then, though, thanks for listening and goodbye.
Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.